Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Congratulations, Alabama.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
The sun comes up on democracy.
Goodbye, baby.
Doug Jones wins in Alabama. And Roy Moore can ride out on the horse he rode in on. He still, as of last night, said he was hoping for a recount. There doesn't appear to be any mathematical possibility that that will happen. And Doug Jones is the first Democrat in 25 years in Alabama to win. We'll talk a lot about that this morning at 6:11. Hi, welcome to the program. Mark Carman's here for Dave Enick. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Steve. Great to see you.
Do you have a new car?
No. No, I've got a great used car, though.
Has your car been refurbished since it was stolen on Thanksgiving?
We're in the middle of a 22-day repair, Steve. I'm looking at a January 9th delivery with...
How are you getting around?
I have an outstanding rental that is...
Rough. We'll talk more about the fact that your car was stolen because you left it running.
I did do that.
Andrea, how are you?
I'm good. I missed you yesterday.
Yeah, happy day off. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
Looking fabulous as always.
Thank you. Did a little Christmas shopping, sleeping in.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of nothing.
You didn't miss any of the show, though, did you?
Oh, no.
Okay,
I heard
the whole thing. Mary Vandeveld, hi, on the seventh floor. What's happening?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm in good shape this year for some reason before Christmas.
Yeah, you're all done?
Shocking myself. No, didn't say that, but I got a lot of cards done. I got a lot of wrapping done. I got a lot of shopping done. I haven't done my baking, but otherwise, I'm in good shape.
I got off the hook on that whole card thing years ago by, I don't know what the proper terminology is, I guess not doing them anymore.
Right.
Yep. A lot of people
I don't. I stopped about 2 years ago just because everybody I talked to either.
I Christmas text.
Facebook, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much
Christmas
handles it.
Christmas text.
Yeah. There's nothing quite as warm.
That's so lame.
Unless you
warm,
have, unless
warm
you have,
and holiday-y.
Unless you have kids and put the card on the picture.
And grandkids.
You don't need to send me a card that says, Merry Christmas, love so-and-so.
That's Ross and Lauren's responsibility now. If they want to do it.
I wouldn't. They don't have time to do that.
I put a picture of my grandbaby in my card.
Well, you're a better person than I am.
Think about the environmental footprint, though, that you're not leaving, Steve.
Never thought about it. Not even once.
Yeah, but think about the environment. Yeah. Think about, the
Andrea's right,
saving.
Though. When they just sign their name. I mean, if people write something in the card, that's great.
Uh-huh.
Or send a letter or a picture. But if they just send a card, just say, you know, with their name. It's like, okay, what the heck?
Thanks.
I've gotten so many of those already. I'm like, okay. Hey, Nancy.
Just text me.
Yeah.
Pat didn't make me do cards this year, which is like the best present.
What are you, a prison? What
yeah,
do you make
for
you
for your card?
I know, you're not going to get one. But now, every card I get, I have to send a message to the person that sent it, letting them know, just so you know, you weren't left off the list. I'm not doing any cards. And so I'm having to have all these individual conversations.
Why do you feel you have to respond?
Because people... ask, you know, they'll be like, oh, I didn't get your card, you know,
it's card guilt.
Yeah, so I just I'm letting them know
once again this is your team. There's not a guy on the point.
Don't let me into this. I don't send cards and I think they're
no, but this is your team being hard on your team. Guys, don't think about this.
We try to get everything done for
Christmas. Every card we get, though, Pat's like, we should have done a card.
We,
like,
meaning
I'm not
you.
Caving, right. Because it's a lot of work for... Yeah.
We should have done a card, meaning you should have done cards.
Yes.
And,
you know, my stepdaughter is at that age where she doesn't like any picture.
So, and she's a beautiful girl.
I know, but
yeah,
that's what teenagers don't like, pictures of themselves, unless it's just them, their friends.
Well, thank God
they
don't take many.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, what I do...
They disappear.
Mary, what I do is I have some emergency cards on standby, and so if somebody... I don't send out cards either, but if somebody sends me one, I'll pull out an emergency card and send it right away.
You guys do it, too.
Listen, this is the only good thing about getting older. I just don't care.
Right. Exactly.
Listen, plus, you're a guy. I mean, my husband has, he has a list of cards he has to write, and he hasn't done it yet. And I'm like, you have to write your cards. I'm not writing those. That's your job.
It's very nice to
women
get
that
cards.
Make their husbands do that. Also with the thank you notes for the wedding when they have to do
it's
their
very, very,
or they
very,
sign their name.
Very
oh,
nice.
Do it.
It's
he's
very nice. Very nice. Very nice to get cards from other people. It's very nice. Just I want everyone to know no one's getting a card from me.
And can I ask you guys who do get cards and give cards? Do you save them?
No. I toss them.
A couple days.
I'd toss them on,
put them on
the
my
26th.
Mantle.
Yeah.
It depends.
I put them on Steve's mantle.
Yeah.
When you
they're
send
just,
that.
They're gone. Toss them.
Say something nice. I'll send it. I'll keep it. But that never really happens. So then I don't tend to keep them. You know, it's the standard.
Yeah. I think the kids this year are doing the Christmas Snapchats.
Yeah. That's smart.
Six seconds and
they
gone.
Disappear.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah. Yeah.
My
and
cards hang up on my wall until probably June. All the
June.
Are
you kidding?
Oh, yeah. I love them. People love to look at them because they're pictures of people, not the cards, the picture cards.
I used to save
with pictures.
The pictures because Mary Vanderbilt, you send a picture of your family every year. My other friends do that as well with their families. I used
you didn't
to
get
save.
One yet, sorry.
I used to save the pictures, and then I had like two boxes of them, and I'm like, okay, I'm throwing these out.
Yeah, why did I save the
why?
Pictures?
Why? Yeah, I mean, it's cool, but
okay, now you're not getting one.
I don't need.
Listen,
to
I care about all of you.
I'm gonna throw them out.
And all of you listeners, I care about all of you. I'm just not sending you cards.
Yeah.
So, if that's a scorecard for whether or not I care about you, then you need a new scorecard.
Listening to you every day is like a Christmas card.
That's exactly right.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. It's a load of crap, but I appreciate it, Steve.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
All right, item number one, Doug Jones wins Alabama, wins the Senate race. Roy Moore may still be trying to seek a recount if it's within 0.5% of the lead. He gets an automatic recount. It's triggered. He could pay for a recount, but that's very, very expensive. That won't happen. But he did not concede last night, and Doug Jones didn't mention him in his speech, a speech that I thought was impressive because, let's be honest here, Doug Jones didn't win. Roy Moore lost. And the majority of people in Alabama stepped up to defend their state, not to pick a Democrat. Having said that, Doug Jones looks like he's going to be a fine representative for the state of Alabama and makes the Senate now probably, though not likely, it's probably in play for 2018.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's right on the edge. Maybe. I have misgivings about whether or not it's in play.
I'd certainly be nervous. One, sure. I'd certainly be nervous if I were a Republican senator.
Yeah, the Republican seats that are up are fairly safe and gerrymandered, but we'll see.
Yeah. You want to hear Trump's tweet?
Do you know how you gerrymander a state?
Is this a joke or is this
No, it's just surreal. In the Senate, you know, you should have a fair shot because there's only two senators in each state. But the districts are so gerrymandered for Congress, it makes the support of the Republican senator stronger.
I thought you were going to, like, guy walked into a bar. I thought you were
a guy walked into the bar with gerrymander. Couldn't get it off him.
Right.
This morning, the president is tweeting. Now, you might remember the president came out in a Pensacola rally a few days ago talking about how everybody's got to vote for Doug Jones, or I should say for Roy Moore, and then for the past several days tweeted about how everybody's got to vote for Roy Moore. I'm sure this morning he's taking it like a man.
Oh, yeah.
And admitting his defeat. What did he write?
Well, 8 hours ago, still while Roy Moore was not conceding, he put, congratulations to Doug Jones on a hard-fought victory. The write-in votes played a very big factor, but a win is a win. The people of Alabama are great, and the Republicans will have another shot at the seat in a very short period of time. It never ends. An hour ago, he tweeted, the reason I originally endorsed Luther Strange and his numbers went up mightily is that I said Roy Moore will not be able to win the general election. I was right. Roy worked hard, but the deck was stacked against him. End tweet.
How would the deck be stacked against him? Alabama's been red for 25 years. The deck wasn't stacked against him. He was a terrible candidate and a bad human being.
And an alleged sexual predator.
Well, that would be the bad human being part.
Exactly.
So he deserved to lose. And Trump, once again, can't ever be a grown-up.
God. Goes back to Luther Strange, who at this point,
hey, before I went to Roy Moore, I was in favor of the other guy who also lost. I mean, he's a two-time Alabama loser.
Oh, my God. It's mind-blowing.
So the people that stepped up to a 29% voter turnout in the African-American community, a 40% turnout overall for the special election. That's a high number for a special election. We still all ought to be ashamed of ourselves that we don't show up to vote for these things.
And a very high turnout, as Steve pointed out earlier, voters under the age, young voters, first-time voters, showing up in record numbers, too.
Yeah, and women turning out to say no more of this. Roy Moore, you know, I really felt bad about the vote finals came in kind of late, and it had to be tough on Roy Moore because the mall was already closed.
Oh, jeez.
So he couldn't even get over there. Next, Dennis Hastert, former Speaker of the House, on supervised release faces new restrictions on porn, on contacting minors, on using a computer, on leaving his house, and frankly, deserves all of it. Next. Top attorney at Chicago Public Schools has resigned after an ethics probe that led to the resignation of his longtime ally, Forrest Claypool. The CPS general counsel, Ronald Marmer, announced yesterday that he would leave office December 22nd. He did not respond to requests for comments. Let me ask you and Steve Grzanich about this, because this starts to feel now like an onion. Like you peel one layer of the onion back in the Chicago Public Schools little scandal here, and there's more there.
Right.
Am I overreading it?
Right. No, I don't think you are overreading it, especially after what happened to Barbara Bird Bennett. You really have to watch that position. I mean, it's like any city position as well, but there was an investigation, and Marmer violated district ethics policies. This was basically a pay-for-play. His old law firm, he supervised work there.
But that was Claypool's deal,
too,
right?
Effort. Yeah, but
he steered some money?
Yeah, it was kind of a joint effort, though, but Claypool didn't have to say yes, and he did. So,
Steve, are you seeing anything else, sir?
Yeah, the only thing I'm hearing is that more federal investigations underway. Lots of reports that the feds may not be done. You know, they put Barbara Bird Bennett in prison, and the suggestion is that investigation really never ended into CPS. So we'll see if, you know, the feds have something up their sleeve.
And is Barbara Bird Bennett in jail now, or is she still appealing that thing?
I think she's in prison.
Mm-hmm. Do we know where? She's not in Rahm's prison, is she?
You mean Blackos?
I mean Blocko.
Wow. No,
sorry.
Rahm's not in prison.
Sorry, Mayor's office. I just put Rahm in prison.
Well, this is really but people who want an elected school board, an elected school system, this is really just ammunition for their weapons on this.
Mm. And why again do we not have an elected school board?
That's a fantastic question. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Most other big cities do.
Seems
Claypool,
like
by the way, has been the third school chief appointed by Rahm Emanuel since he won in 2011.
And why is that position so in flux? Why can't somebody stay for a couple of years?
My cousin is a very young Chicago public school teacher. I want to say she's in her early to mid-30s. She's had seven different school chiefs since she's been a teacher. So over the past 15 years.
That seems high.
It does.
Next. In an editorial for a national newspaper that is as vicious as anything you would ever see, USA Today calling out Donald Trump for his tweets yesterday about Kristen Gillibrand, who would, quote, do anything for his support, which can only be read one way. You can defend him all day if you want, but unless you're his mom and his mom's dead, you can't take his side on this. This is a guy who had the Access Hollywood tape, who has said all the things he said about women in the past. When he says Kristen Gillibrand would do anything for his support, you know exactly what he meant. Here's what USA Today wrote this morning. A president who'd all but call a senator a whore is unfit to clean the toilets in Obama's presidential library or to shine George W. Bush's shoes. That's an editorial by USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
National newspaper. Donald Trump.
Paper of the people.
So it's really rather remarkable. One more. Devin Hester. Arguably the greatest kick returner, the greatest special teams fast guy of all time. He has announced his retirement, his last return for a touchdown, Mark Carman, I believe, 2014 with the Falcons.
That is correct, Steve.
Yeah, punt return, was it?
I think so, yeah. 20 touchdowns in his career, non-offensive touchdowns, the most ever in the history of the game. 14 off punts, 5 off kickoffs, 1 off a missed field goal. Super Bowl 41 took the opening kickoff back against the Colts, Bears.
Can we agree that if he had not been forced to play wide out, that he probably would have had two or three more great years as a kick returner?
Maybe. I also think the wide out part perhaps hurts him going into Canton, Ohio, because he just wasn't good at it, and it might perhaps...
Oh, come on. He's one of the best ever.
I know, but it's a special position that's... I think he belongs. I'm not saying he doesn't belong.
Okay. That's your Top 6 at 6, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, 60-Minute Men. Do we have another break for the bottom? Okay, before we do that, Mark, Carmen, just a recap of to set this up later. You, on Thanksgiving night...
Correct.
Stopped at a convenience store / gas station. Mm-hmm. Am I right so far?
You are Thornwoods, Skokie Boulevard and Lake Cook up in Highland Park.
To get a beverage and to use the facilities.
Yes.
And you got out of your car and you left it running.
While it was filling up with gas, yes.
Yes. And you went inside, and when you came out, probably thought it was a full service station because the car was no longer filling with gas, and your car was gone.
Adios, bye-bye, see you later.
Right. Now, leaving your car running while it's fueling is probably not a great idea to begin with.
Perhaps not.
There are signs all over the gas pumps that say, don't leave your car running while it's fueling.
Thought that was a wives' tale.
But secondarily, leaving your car running at night while you go into a convenience store in a big city like Chicago, there's a pretty good chance you're going to have a problem there, isn't there?
Yeah, but that's true. But, you know, I was in the northern suburbs at Highland Park. It's a little, I just felt like I was... You know, basically in my own driveway.
So you're profiling that your neighborhood was safe.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's correct. I was.
The car was recovered. This mm-hmm. will be part two of the story.
Yeah.
But the car, if you saw the movie The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, the car was recovered after it had been used in various nasty ways. And Mark also lost his computer and his phone, which caused him to miss an opportunity to fill in on this show because he didn't know he was scheduled.
Poor guy. I mean, that's the worst part of all of it.
What a mess you are.
Not so much the car and the phone and the belongings.
Yeah, he missed a shot on the show.
Yeah.
And I have a follow-up question.
Oh.
Did you have to pay for the gas?
Oh, that's a great question.
You know, what happened with that?
You know, that's really funny that I never once thought about that until now, and I definitely paid for that gas. Otherwise, the pump would have been running. I 100% paid $37 for that gas.
So you paid $37 to have your car stolen. That's
plus
fantastic.
Everything. Yeah.
Did you leave soft drink to the front?
Oh, I see.
Sorry.
6:29, back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
We have drugs, we have debt, we have empty factories. That's going to end. That's going to end. So easy. So easy to sell.
Believe me, the jobs are coming back, folks. That's going to be so easy.
It's very easy to be presidential.
But it's so easy to do.
This is so easy.
I want to jumpstart America, and it can be done. And it won't even be that hard.
Folks, I'm going to do so much about it. It's going to be so easy. It's going to be so easy.
You know, being presidential is easy. Much easier than what I have to do.
I actually... This is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier.
Oh, once again, a fine job by Mike Jacobson. Who, by the way, has been locked in a production studio since last election day. But it's to our benefit. It's 6:40. You know who should feel good this morning are the women that stood up and talked about what Roy Moore did to them as teenagers. Because without their push, without their courage to stand up and take all the grief they've taken, a lot of people wouldn't have been motivated to vote yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alabama did the right thing. I don't want to hear any Alabama jokes, people.
Not today.
Alabama did the right thing.
Bama.
At 6:41. Whoa, I didn't see this coming. President Trump's on the phone.
Oh,
I don't know if he heard all that on hold. Oh, boy, here we go. Mr. President, good morning. I mean, you just look, you can't be happy with what happened last night, those election results.
You know, frankly, Cochran, I don't know what happened. I mean, what went wrong? I did a tremendous robocall. I did a hate-inciting rally. The RNC threw a lot of money at Roy Moore's campaign. And Steve Bannon even went a few extra days without shaving and bought an old barn jacket at Goodwill to look even more rural when he went down there to stump for him. Look. You have to admit, though, Cochran, it was a close race. I mean, Moore and Jones were red neck and neck.
You know, that's true. That's true. That's a phrase I hadn't heard, but that's very true. What about any comments on all the sexual harassment news?
Oh, no. What did Matt Lauer do now?
No. I'm talking about Mario Batali, the celebrity chef accused of inappropriate sexual conduct, got booted off his own show, that thing on ABC called The Chew.
Well, look, this just proves what I've been saying for a very long time. Only women belong in the kitchen.
He just can't be helped. He can't be helped. All right, let's get serious for a second. Your former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, lies to the FBI. He's now cooperating with Mr. Mueller. We hear that he may be looking for your son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and Kushner may be in trouble. He's the guy that told Flynn to talk to the Russians. Are you concerned about little Jared?
No. Jared will be fine, as long as he finds a really good lawyer by the end of Hanukkah. They have some tremendous attorneys at his synagogue. They really do.
You know who might know a good attorney would be Roy Moore's wife, because I don't know if you know this, but one of their lawyers is a Jew.
That's true.
Yeah, so
she did say that.
Yeah, that's just true.
One of our attorneys is a Jew.
All right, Mr. President, we heard a rumor that Special Counsel Mueller's team sent a subpoena to Deutsche Bank to get your bank records. You must be concerned about that.
Not at all. You know, Mueller can't get my bank info. That loser doesn't even have my PIN number. Besides, there's nothing to find. It's a witch hunt, Cochran. A witch hunt. Uh-huh. But if he wants to open an account there at Deutsche, I really do recommend them. They have interest-free checking, and you can make instant deposits right on your cell phone while you're tweeting. And if you open an account with them today using promo code Trump, you get a free toaster. Tremendous.
Wow, that is fantastic. Listen, there's a report out there that says you watch up to 8 hours of TV a day. I don't know how you would have time for that. Is it true?
Nope, fake news. And it's just flat out impossible. I mean, let's break out the numbers here. I sleep for 6 hours every day. Uh-huh. I tweet for 3, spray my hair in place for 2, golf for 5, eat Big Macs and a bucket of KFC for 2 more hours, followed by a 3-hour full belly nap. I mean, that would only leave 3 hours left in my day to watch Fox and Friends and Hannity and Apprentice reruns. I don't think so. The numbers don't add up. They don't add up.
Yep. You know what? You're right. The math doesn't work. Listen, we heard you have a checkup schedule because we're all pretty startled by your health. Your doctor in January as well. I mean, at this point, in regards to your health and all the fast food you eat, are you okay? How do you feel?
Very healthy. I feel great. I'm the epitome of health. You want to know my secret, Cochran? 12 Diet Cokes a day. Keeps me very trim. Well, that and, of course, I do the doctor-recommended 7 controversial tweets per day.
So the tweets are low-cal. Did you know that? I did not know
low-cal
that.
Low-cal tweets.
The tweets are very... Listen, you just officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. A lot of people want to know why you had to do that now.
It was time, Steve. It was time. You know, and we're going to make Jerusalem great again. Not only am I drawing up plans for a beautiful golf course where Jews and Palestinians can fight each other over tea times, I'm going to build a huge casino next to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. You know, the Catholics, they really like to gamble, Steve. Believe me.
You mentioned Christmas. Are you ready for the holidays at the White House, sir?
We're looking very festive around here, Steve. Lots of garland, lots of bows. In fact, we're still doing the elf on the shelf with Barron. You know, instead of the elf, we use Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He's very small and light. You can easily move him around to different locations around the White House. It's tremendous. And we're also doing a live nativity. Did I tell you that?
No. What's that about?
Yeah. Well, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin will be the wise man who brings the gold.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be Joseph. Ivanka's Mary. And Chris Christie will be the baby Jesus in a structurally reinforced manger dressed in huge swaddling clothes. We're going to see a lot of tourists. It's going to be tremendous.
All right, sir. Listen, I hate to cut you off, but I have to run. I appreciate your call. Good luck today.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Feels good to say that again.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
And you too.
All right. There you go. That's President Donald Trump.
He's pretty calm, considering everything of yesterday.
I don't think it's all entirely set in yet. Plus, you know, you could tell he wasn't paying attention because while he's talking to me, he's watching Fox and Friends. Yeah.
And eating a bucket of Big Macs.
Yeah, exactly. Fox and Friends trying to avoid the whole Alabama conversation this morning. Apparently, they're talking about The Walking Dead through most of their first hour. At 6:46, let's get traffic on the radio. Mary, what do you got? Texters text again now about Mark Carman leaving his car running at a gas station and having it stolen on Thanksgiving Eve. All right, let's update your car now. Where's your car?
My car is in a body shop in the middle of a 22-day repair, Steve. We're looking at a January 9th delivery with the holidays.
So the police did recover it?
Was recovered, yes.
What shape was it in?
It was in awful shape. We had front left side damage, front right side damage, left side damage, right side damage.
Had it been in an accident?
I think what happened was perhaps there was another car that also was stolen that evening, and they were both going down the Edens and kind of banging into each other, and then that alerted the cops, and then again there was some form of a chase, and then I don't know.
So
how
the idiots that stole the car were actually doing a little demolition derby thing.
Sounds like that, yes.
Can the car be saved, little Tommy?
I believe the car is going to be saved. But, you know, I would like to personally thank all the WGN listeners and who've reached out about Arnold, Steve, which I haven't mentioned to you before. But Arnold is my stuffed animal duck that's near and dear to my heart, who was in the car. And I was worried that I wouldn't be able to get Arnold back and never see him again. But Arnold survived. He was a little bit affected by the smell of smoke that was going on in the vehicle. But everything worked out. And it's amazing how many Facebook messages I've gotten about Arnold. I want to let everybody know he's okay.
This is the duck you sleep with, right?
Yes, yes.
Is this for real?
Yeah,
this
he's
is,
not kidding. He has a duck that he sleeps with.
Arnold the
okay,
duck.
Okay, that just explains a whole ton of stuff.
Yeah. Right. Did you know this, Amber?
I'm aware of the duck. Yeah. I prefer not to acknowledge it, but
it's a big part of the story.
At least you still have this sleepy blankie.
Why did you have the duck in the car?
Well,
he goes to his girlfriend's house.
I like how you think the blankie's better.
Does your girlfriend know about this?
Yes, yeah, she loves Arnold.
Oh.
So when you go to stay at your girlfriend's, you bring the duck?
Yes, of course.
Were you on the way to your girlfriend's house with the duck?
I was coming. It was Thanksgiving at her family's,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I was coming back downtown.
Is the topic of the duck come up at her in front of her family?
No,
in,
I think
particularly in front of her father.
That one we have kept on the down low.
Not so much anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you fill in on the Steve Cochran show. I got to be transparent with you, Steve.
That
you know this.
That's even more bizarre than the carjacking to me.
Well, the carjacking ended with the car being damaged.
Is it a jacking if you're not in the vehicle?
Well, that's a fair point. Car borrowing.
And you're not supposed
stolen
to fill
car.
Your tank while the car is running.
Are you blaming
I was talking
the
about
victim?
That.
That's what we were saying.
Yeah, I was talking about that a few minutes ago on
there's
the air.
There's apparently signs up now, too.
Oh, there's
well, yeah,
signs.
Yeah, it's because, well, it's bad
not
for your
just
car.
Not just don't leave your car unattended, just, you know, because of recent carjackings.
Yeah, it's bad for your car. But after you left Thanksgiving and then got your car stolen, did you have to call them? Hey, guys, I know I was just there.
Couldn't call him. The phone was gone. Oh. So
So you lost your phone and your computer as well.
The computer actually...
What's on the computer that could be problematic?
Well, the computer actually survived. It was taken out of my bag, but they left it in the back seat. I don't know. I think because they were being chased by the officers of the law that they left the computer, but they took the phone.
You know what's so weird? I now know two people who have had their car stolen. One was a carjacking victim, and then you, Carmen.
Who was just not smart.
My niece just got her stolen in Milwaukee.
I know two people in 1 week that have been the victim of
a car. Let's be clear on this. If you really don't want your car stolen, first step is going to be don't leave it running.
It's a good idea.
With the doors open. Well, by the way, why wouldn't you lock your car when you left? Don't you have the key fob?
Why wouldn't I lock my car? Again, a very rational question.
Because there's
no
way,
good answer.
Because you were in Highland Park. I mean, as a suburban person... I do think there's a level of safety.
No, I know that's
terrible. In my weekly paper, we read, you know, on Thanksgiving Day, there was like 23 cars in our little tiny 1 mile radius.
Right, because they know
town.
The idiots in Highland Park are going to leave their cars running.
Well, yeah,
and every car was in the driveway with the keys in it. It was like,
why? It's like leaving your front door open.
See, I just
well,
like...
Well, I don't understand leaving the keys in a car. How hard is it to take your keys in a house?
See, here's the thing. I liked, at least historically, not anymore, I enjoyed living a trusting life to, and within reason.
No. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. You're being lazy.
Lazy's part of it.
Yes, exactly right.
Yes, 100%.
Let's see. A couple of people texting in here. Why is it unlawful to leave your car running while refueling? I don't think it's unlawful. It's just dangerous.
I think I know I had a car that I used to leave the car running while I would do the gas in my late teens or whatever. And it messed up. Air gets in the tank. It actually messed up the vehicle. And that's why I was told not to do it.
I think your father probably told you that story. It's just a bad idea in general. as a North Shore native, all I have to say is wow. let's see.
You know, there are some states, I just looked it up, it's not illegal in Illinois to leave your car running unattended while you're pumping gas, but it is in at least 14 states, including Texas.
I have the ultimate theft deterrent on my car. It's called a manual transmission because no one could drive it if they steal
it. That's a good move.
Mike would not be able to steal that car.
All right, what did the thieves, the perps, did they leave anything behind?
Yes, they were generous enough to leave me three lighters, an Arizona iced tea, half drinking, and I got a Bulls hat out of it. It's a sweet Bulls hat.
And you know, until the recent win streak, the Bulls hat would have been more of the penalty.
Right. Well, three in a row,
what
maybe.
Three lighters.
Three lighters.
Was it just smoking weed in the car?
Yes, a lot. I mean, that thing is going to be we need a serious shampooing here, Steve. That was an aggressive, I would say a high-grade marijuana if I had to guess.
Another texter from the 630, did Carmen stage the theft to avoid dinner with his future in-laws?
Dinner already happened. The dinner was in the books. You know, what was kind of interesting too, Steve, if I may weird myself out a little bit more or make myself sound weirder, my girlfriend did not believe the story when she got home. I said something happened. My car got stolen. She thought I was playing. But when I told her that Arnold the Duck was gone, that's when she knew it was real. That's when reality set in. That's when she knew I wasn't playing.
It's just so bizarre to me. I didn't know the story about the stuffed animal.
I knew about the stuffed animal. I didn't know the girlfriend was involved, and I don't know that any more information on this is going to help you.
Well, we're not looking for help.
We in the law enforcement community like to say the people who leave their keys in their car and get it running and get it stolen pay a stupid tax.
I would say the officers of the law who were trying to be supportive of me and console me about my car being gone also perhaps pointed that out as well.
That it was dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. When you get your car back, will you leave it running?
Steve, I will not do that. And I mean, it's amazing how many times you have to make these decisions. Like coming in today, I stop at Dunkin' Donuts. My car's right across the street. The car's freezing. I want to leave it on. I want the heat when I come back. Can't do it. It's like I have to really tell myself to not do it.
If your car is warm when you stop and you go into the store for less than 5 minutes, it'll be warm when you come out.
Okay, but the car wasn't warm quite yet. I'm just saying I'm making different decisions all the time.
You're just a mess.
I love you, Carmen.
Just a mess.
My sympathy just keeps going away and away.
The stuffed animal thing. I mean,
just like your car.
That's a separate bit of therapy.
Not looking for sympathy, just respect.
And again, the stuffed animal thing's not going to help you.
Once you wash that stuffed toy, whoo.
Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating. And you imagine the thieves when they saw the stuffed duck? The thieves saw the stuffed duck in the car. They went, what the hell kind of car did we steal?
He probably
Where's
thought
my
that
bong?
He just had a kid.
I'm getting texts. Arnold the Duck, really? This could be bad.
Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. When the Hawks win, we make a federal case out of it. Listen.
Blackhawks look to keep the home ice mojo going tonight and one last time before they leave town as they battle the Florida Panthers for the last time this season. To the slot side, shoots, and a shoulder save made by Reimer. Jordan Osterley in deep from the right point to the corner, kept the puck alive there, batted to DeBrink and put it in front side, shoots, he scores! Brandon Saad, who had a goal down in Florida against the Panthers in the first game, lights the lamp here at the United Center, and the Hawks are out to a 1-0 lead on the Panthers. Here's Bjugstad on a breakaway over the Hawk line, down the slot with a backhand, he scores! Took it down and beat Corey Crawford with a backhander, 1-1. Seabrook at the right point, put the puck to Kane between the circles. He lost the handle as he was pressured by a couple of Panthers. Evgeny Dadonov now will work the puck across the Hawk line. Trocheck right circle, put it left circle. McGinn moves in, shoots and scores! Jamie McGinn took that pass in his skates, kicked it ahead to his stick, and snapped it high into the top shelf past Corey Crawford. And the Panthers lead for the first time, 2-1. DeBrincat sends Saad away over the Panther line to Taves, left circle, shoots, he scores! The captain cashes in! A sweet setup from Saad, who was enabled by DeBrincat into the Panther zone, and Jonathan Taves from the left circle ties the score at 2. Each team will get a point out of this hockey game as regulation ends, tied at 2. Moves down and then lost the puck off a poke check from Anisimov and has to carry the puck back to center ice. Falls under Anisimov, penalty boxes. Anisimov gave it to Kane over the Panther line down the slot. Should he scores? Hawks win in overtime! Patrick Kane fires it past Reimer, and the Hawks win all three games on the homestand. 6 of a possible 6 points. They beat the Panthers here tonight in overtime. The Hawks 3 and the Panthers 2.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
New breed, ain't no drag.
Harper's got a brand new bag.
7:13, we continue live from the Allstate Showcase studio. What? Studio? What? Did someone see my tongue? I'm not sure I brought it to work today. I'm having trouble pronouncing the basic words in the English language. Let me see if I can put my get it together here. Show number 1050 at Cochran Show on Twitter. Follow me there. Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Texters, 312-981-7200. That's the phone number as well. And it's nice to have in studio a former guest of the Justin Kaufman Show and somebody who can speak eloquently and expertly on tech in the city. Not just tech, but tech for women as well, and how to get a job and how to keep a job and all that important stuff. It's Rana Bori. What's the name of the company, Rana?
Instant Alliance.
Hi.
A lot of us know as Instant Technology.
Nice to have you.
Good morning, everybody.
Did you really start this in 2001?
God, it seems like a long time ago. It is a long time ago.
It is a long time ago. But, I mean, how many women were doing that then?
Just me. No,
right?
I'm just kidding. It was few and far between, I'll tell you that.
Why is the tech business so male-heavy?
You know, it's changing a bit. I think it was, and I think that's just the way it went. But now there are so many varying jobs in, like, product development and being kind of liaisons between tech and the business that women do really well in those roles.
But tons of women write code too, right?
Now tons of women write code. It's a whole different game.
But is the business sexist or was it just numbers?
Honestly, probably a little both, right?
Okay.
And I just think women kind of broke through that barrier and they're amazing at what they do and they really kind of get it from being able to present to the C-suite and then really kind of thinking through the business and strategy and implementing that into the technology. Well, so
Andre,
it's
I think
really
you've
kind
done,
of cool.
You've done stories for this, sure. I think, on Channel 9, talking about STEM technology or STEM education in the schools. And the more we encourage girls,
right,
you know, when they're little, that science, technology, and engineering and math are just as important to them as they are to boys, and obviously it's going to be wide open.
Right. There's more of an emphasis now, I think, trying to get the young girls involved with science and math and whatnot. There's core programs within CPS and now the suburbs, too. So I think now it's women being and young ladies being given the opportunities that they otherwise maybe wouldn't have been given before.
Yeah, I think just exposure is like one of the keys, right? You don't know what you don't know.
Sure.
And now these girls are really seeing, okay, this is what I could grow up to be. And they're really encouraged by that. And they're taking a different track than just being a teacher or doing the things that historically girls or women used to do.
Were you a tech nerd or how'd you get in?
Honestly,
yeah.
Never a tech nerd. I met someone on Wacker who was in the business and I just started talking to them. And I went in and they taught me technology every night. They were actually a developer and they worked with me. And I will tell you, I do not know how to write a line of code,
right?
But probably have placed thousands of developers throughout my career.
Well, but let's be honest, the writing of code, while it's the foundation of the business, is not the business. The business is all of it. Mm-hmm. It's the marketing. It's the architecture of whatever company you set up. It's the big idea. It's the app. It's all of that.
Yeah, it's really changed because where it used to be where technology was kind of this cost center, it's now the main thing that drive businesses forward. So it's the idea, but how are you going to implement that in a digital world and a tech world? And it's so much driven now. It kind of flopped.
Is that headhunter? Is it fair to call
yeah,
you
I would
that?
Say headhunter, yep.
So if you're a headhunter in a place like Chicago now where we've got 1871 and we've got the nerdery over on the other side of town.
Yep, know those guys.
And various other places. Is it easier than ever to get people to do tech in Chicago? I mean, are you bringing people in or are you finding people here?
You know, I think Chicago is definitely on the map and people are here. There is a shortage of technicians for sure with the amount of jobs that are kind of out there. But yeah, I think this town is rocking and rolling in terms of.
So we do have a lot of talent here.
We have a good amount of talent and I think it's continuing to grow and expand as people are getting more experience in different areas like digital.
Yeah, something you just said too, which struck a chord, which I think is really cool. It's not just about writing code. What you do, which I think is so unique, is that you find the right talent and differentiating factors between people. You know, maybe what's good for you isn't good for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, even one of my tips that I tell people, it's not about just being a good developer anymore. It's about being able to understand people's business needs and figure out how the technology is going to drive their business needs forward for the future.
So we'll talk about how you can get a job in tech and how you can best present yourself in a second. First, Mary's back with traffic. Talking about women in tech and in tech from the 815, Girls Who Code at RVC, Rock Valley College, has been approved as an official Girls Who Code club location. After school programs for 6th to 12th grade girls to close the gender gap in technology. It's the Rock Valley College and the first community college in Illinois to be selected and approved for the Girls Who Code training experience. We tie that into the fact that Ronna Bore is here. How do you like being a legend for women in this business?
Wow, you put me on the spot.
Well, it's good, right?
I don't know if I'm a legend, but...
But to be doing it for, what's 15, 16, 17 years now?
God, honestly, close to 25.
Keep is it that fun?
DL.
Okay, no one will tell that. At least you didn't say it out loud.
Okay, at least I didn't tell a few users, a few people.
All right, so let's talk about how you get a job or keep a job or present yourself best. You talk about soft skills. What are soft skills?
Soft skills are being able to come in and talk about the things you do day to day, I guess, right? And being able to marry that, I think we talked a few minutes earlier, around looking at the business, what are the businesses trying to accomplish, and then weaving that into the technology. So to me, that's soft skills.
And how do you talk about your impact for a potential hire without sounding like an egomaniac or a narcissist?
Actually, I think this point is super important because a lot of people talk in the we, and companies want to hear what your impact was and what you did to change that project. So I always say come with a couple examples of the work you did and what the outcome was. And I think employers really like to hear that.
What would you say to young girls, even as young as junior high age or high school, who this might sound really interesting to them, but maybe they're not that great in math or science or something?
Actually, I don't know that you have to be great in both, right? Okay. I think you just have to have an interest and
sure.
a passion. And I always say just like, when you're that young, go try something. If you don't like it, it's okay. And you only learn by trying. So that's my advice to young
girls. Is there an increase that you're aware of? Has it been quantified for a percentage of women in technology that's, you know, it's this much over what it used to be?
You know what? That number fluctuates all the time.
But it's not been steadily going up?
It has absolutely been going up, for sure.
Okay. Part three of your three tips that, you know, you tipped us on is stay ahead of the curve. That just means constantly getting more knowledge?
Yeah, like constantly innovating, looking what's the next best thing out there, right? And what where people are going and what might be interesting and kind of, you know, everything changes so fast now that it's not everyone has years of experience in a certain technology. So I think because of all the avenues and the internet and everywhere you can gain insight and information, if you just read and like start implementing it in your home or trying to do things, when you come into interview, you can talk about that and employers love to see that people are forward thinking.
The world's filled with teachers and students. Thanks for teaching us a little about this. And what's your message for potential employers? Just be open-minded and hire the right people?
Yeah, I think it's not only about just knowing the tech skill. They have to look at the person as a whole and kind of hear some stories about things they've accomplished in their life. Because if they have passion and drive, I feel like ultimately they'll learn the technology. That's like kind of almost, to me, secondary. And that's the advice I'd give employers.
If people want to get a hold of you, they want to ask you more questions, they want to use you, they want to find out about the mystery man who taught you the business, what do they need
I'm
to
wanker.
Do?
Yeah, they can absolutely call me directly or my firm at 312-582-2600 or R Borre, B-O-R-R-E, at instantalliance.com.
And it's Ronna, not Rona.
It's Ronna.
Yeah, well, we fixed that. Great to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you being here.
All right, thanks.
We have Carol Burnett tickets. I want to extend this out a little bit before we do anything else and make this part of Mark Carmen's universe. Mark is filling in for Dave Ennett. Mark had a stuffed animal named Oscar the Duck?
That'd be Arnold.
Arnold
Steve.
The Duck.
Yeah.
In your car that was stolen, and the thieves left the duck in the car.
They did. Thank you.
This duck's important to you. This duck is something you sleep with.
When you say sleep with Steve, I mean he's in the bed. I don't know if I'm like necessarily hugging the duck all night. I want to give an accurate portrayal, but sure, yes, I sleep with the duck.
And the duck was in your car because when you go and stay at your girlfriend's, you want the duck with you.
the duck provides me enjoyment, so why would you leave the duck at home when he could be with you and giving you that just sense of
duckness?
Duckness. Maybe, yeah, maybe there you go, Steve.
Maybe rephrase that, like, I enjoy his company, or not, he provides me with enjoyment.
Do you talk to the duck?
Say, what's up, buddy? Sure, why not?
Okay. Does the duck talk back?
He kind of nods.
Here's the deal. I have Carol Burnett tickets on June 13th of next year, and due to overwhelming demand, Carol Burnett's added a second and final event at the Chicago Theater on June 13th. Carol's getting older, and this is probably her last tour, so I wouldn't miss it. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com or call them or up as well. But the easiest place to go is ChicagoTheater.com, and tickets went on sale yesterday. Here's what we'll do. Because Vanderbilt brought this up off the air, and I think it's a good idea. Have you got something that you're embarrassed about that you've held on to from your childhood? And I'm not saying you're embarrassed about, what is it, Chucky the Ducky?
His name is Arnold, Steve.
Arnold the Duck. 312-981-7200. Text it in. Something from your childhood that you keep around that maybe it'd be embarrassing to have your boyfriend or girlfriend know about. Maybe it's something you don't want others to know about.
You don't have to be sleeping with it, right, though?
No.
Okay.
Just something in your life.
And I'll even start it off.
Yeah?
Well, my doll Bridget, who I've had since my childhood, and her hair is sticking straight up, and it's awful. She's, you know, a beautiful old doll. But I put her in places, various places in the house and scare people.
Does it look like a psycho?
No,
prop?
She's a very pretty, cute doll.
Have you
looks
seen
this real
doll?
No, but it sounds like a creepy elf on the shelf.
It does.
You know,
it does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
And my son-in-law,
or a
Johnny,
horror movie thing, like a Chucky prop, right?
Yeah. My son-in-law, Johnny, who you met from the Antioch Choir, he cannot stand this doll, Bridget. So whenever he stays overnight, I prop Bridget up.
His greatest fear probably is that your daughter is going to get one of her own.
Exactly.
All right, so there you go. 312-981-7200 and Bucky the Ducky, Oscar.
Arnold.
The Ducky. Why can't I remember this?
Arnold
the Ducky, Mark Carman's duck, wants to know what you have in your life that's also a little bit weird.
Different?
Yeah. 312-981-7200. Here's what we'll do. Of all the texters between now and 10, we'll just randomly pull one to be the winner for these Carol Burnett tickets. All right? When we come back, we'll get to the big story next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti's here. It's a very special before school edition of Karen Conti, attorney at law. Sunday nights with Noonan, and special appearances all over the place. But if you're in trouble, or your wink, wink, nod, nod, say no more friend is in trouble, you can always call Karen at the office and say, hey, I need help. I need a lawyer. What do you do?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
I have a question for you before we get into some new stuff. I should probably update my will. By the way, not for any really urgent reason, but just to be a grown-up and do it in general. And do you need your old will, a copy of your old will, wherever it's filed, to update your to new one, or can you literally rewrite it?
Yeah, you can rewrite it altogether. Some lawyers will see you and they'll say, you know what, I really don't like the way this is written. I want to do it my way. But once you have it written and you have a lawyer who you like, you should go back to that lawyer. He's got it in his computer. And if he needs to make a few tweaks to it, it's very simple these days. So,
but
it does have to be executed all over again with witnesses. So it's not like you can just take your old will, scribble on it, and it's valid. You have to redo it, re-sign it with all of the witnesses present.
But I guess my further question would be, the most current copy of what you have as a will is the will that would be binding.
That's correct.
So that's why you could rewrite it. You wouldn't necessarily have to have the old one.
That's right.
Okay. How do you find a good, what would it be, a probate attorney?
You would call it an estate planning lawyer, we call it these days. And generally speaking, I think it's a hard thing to find a good lawyer, because if you Google, that's not going to give you the best lawyer. The best lawyer is not the one that advertises online. So I always tell people, ask a professional. If you have a divorce lawyer who you like, or you have an accountant, or a professional financial advisor, those people have very very good people in their Rolodex, or what used to be a Rolodex, to refer. And or you can always call me, because I know people who do this kind of planning in the
word
suburbs.
Of mouth and,
if you if you can't get around and you're in Will County, I've got people out there who can do estate planning, who I know and whom I trust and who are reasonably priced. Always call me. I'm happy to refer you.
Well, you don't take my calls, but I can have someone else call on my behalf.
If you only paid your bill, Steve.
Yeah, well, listen, eventually. I just tell you, eventually. Top legal story, I suppose, would be, at least in part, the soda tax and the implications of the soda tax, the Sanctuary City lawsuit. You know, there's lots of stuff happening. What's big legal news now?
I would say, you know, I kind of break it up with local and national. And I look at Chicago this year, and I think one of the things is the soda tax. Not so much that it's so profound or so fascinating, but it really caused a lot of people to get angry. And I like to see our people get angry about something. I think that we were told
for
health reasons. We were told that we're going to limit what you're drinking, and we all know that it's unfair to do what they did. And it turned itself around, I think, because of public opinion and resentment. And I think that's good. I think that makes a lot of sense. So I think that's a big news story for this year. I also think police issues are a big one. If you remember, it's been a long year, but in January, the Department of Justice came out with a report on police officers in Chicago and all the problems over use of force and racism and all kinds of things in the force. And we have been doing things to correct that, but we still see, we just saw a couple weeks ago, a $44 million verdict against the Chicago police for a shooting.
It's been Andrea's pet peeve forever.
Oh, my huge pet peeve is that why do taxpayers have to foot the bill for the, something happens, and this case in point, the $44 million one was an off-duty officer.
That's right.
So he wasn't on duty, wasn't wasting taxpayer money, while on duty. This was an incident that happened. Why are these judgments so outrageous, and why do the taxpayers always have to foot the bill?
Well, first of all, if you say something's outrageous, I mean, the jurors sat and they listened to the evidence.
Right.
And I really don't question a juror. And I don't think lawyers are magicians. And there's good defense lawyers who are defending the Chicago police.
But take us behind the curtain on this a little bit. There's the jurors are given parameters of what the damages could be?
Yes, but they're also told, as in some of these cases, that the police are withholding evidence, that these police officers in some cases have had incidents over and over and over again, and they have not been reprimanded. They're out drinking and driving. They're not tested. They give a pass to go home, and that they go out and they do something again. And this is what's been going on. And the jurors are instructed that the Chicago police have been hiding things. And when you have jurors who are being told that, you're going to have these high verdicts over and over again.
Am I crazy about this? Wouldn't you be able to save millions and millions of dollars
by moving?
If you had a disciplinary system that handled these problems when they came up?
Well, because the disciplinary issue, I have issues with the disciplinary problems too, because you look at the officer in the Laquan McDonald shooting who has X number of violations against him. Then you find another police officer who has X number of violations against him or her, but they don't remove those complaints if they're unfounded.
That's true. We have tried to change that. Yeah. There's been reorganization. I don't know if it's getting better or not. But again, not every police officer. I mean, people accuse police officers of everything all the time.
Correct.
So there has to be a vetting process. But when you have distinct things like drinking and driving or undue excessive violence, excessive force, you got to take these people and either give them some training or take them off the job.
Right.
Because it's bad for everyone.
How come, though, just real quick, though, how come the city council has to approve this settlement?
Yes.
Yes, this person gets $44 million for this. Could there ever be a change in the law where either just the officer's family would be on the hook for it, someone other than the taxpayers would be on the hook for these huge judgments?
Those are fact by fact. So, depending upon what happens here, what was he wearing his uniform? Was he acting under the color so there's all kinds of laws that are in place to determine whether or not the police department ultimately has to pay that. But it seems like they generally have to pay
that. Well, yeah, but if they're working, then the liability goes to the employer.
And even if they're off duty, the police officers are still carrying a gun. They're still, able to arrest people and do these kinds of things. So generally, the police department is on the line for
it's like if
judgments.
Mark lost his teddy bear, Skippy, on his way back to the car from Arnold the Duck, working on this show, then the damages he sustained could be filed against the Tribune, a media company.
Yes.
Here's some texters, wow. Mark, on your behalf. Karen, did you ever date a guy that had a teddy bear?
No.
No.
Okay. Come on, Karen.
You know.
773.
Just haven't been around.
No.
773. I have my teddy bear as well as my brother's teddy bear. I always wanted his teddy bear, so Mom bought me my own, but I always had to have his as my new one because mine was not as cute as his was. I also have the little puppy I slept with. I assume that's a teddy bear, not an actual old dog. The three of them share a little bench my dad made in the bedroom every night, but they're not in bed with me.
Can I comment on this?
Sure.
This person not only has issues, but the whole subscription.
The whole subscription? What are you talking about?
He's got issues. He's got the whole subscription.
Oh, I see. Oh, see, I see the issues.
The whole package.
Sorry, you know me. Just a pretty face. It took me a while to catch up. 847, I have kept my baby doll, Susie. She's more than 45 years old, has a plastic face that's pulled away from her terry cloth hood.
That's beautiful.
Proving she has only fluff for brains for some reason. Throwing her away just doesn't seem like the right thing to do.
Of course.
See, that's like my doll, Bridget.
773, I also have a stuffed animal, Fluffy. It was given to me by my aunt when I was born. I'm 53. Fluffy's the only thing I kept from my childhood. Not so fluffy anymore 50 years later.
Still doing it, though. Fluffy's in there.
219. I have an old beaded purse that I found in my neighbor's trash 50 years ago.
All right, that's weird.
Okay, that's weird. Come on.
I'm now 58.
That's got bugs.
I can't get rid of it. Well, it doesn't have bugs now. What are you talking about?
You found it in the trash? There's something living on that thing.
Well, not for 50 years.
You don't know, Steve. I'm telling you. Weird stuff going on.
This person says it's not pretty, but I think it's the memories that come back to me every time I look at it that keeps me holding on to it.
Yep.
Plus the ancient bugs that are living
right.
on it
I'm
that,
telling
you
there's
need
something in that thing. There's nests in there.
815, I wish I were home to text a picture of the 5-foot stuffed frog I got when I was 5.
So do I.
I'm now 50, and my kids think I'm nuts keeping Thumbelina, the stuffed frog, on our guest bed.
Yeah, I'm with the kids.
Thumbelina!
Throw it away.
And from the 847, still have my Halloween costume from second grade. I was a cowboy. By the way, I'm now 58.
Okay, I don't mean like your high school letter
See, this
jacket.
This is normal.
Your high school letter jacket is something you keep. That's cool. A toy from 2?
Well, there's a toy I wish I had from the time I was a kid. I took some Lincoln logs and I made a snowmobile, like with little sled skis on the bottom of it and stuff. And I made that when I was probably in second or third grade and had a little steering wheel on it. I wish I still had it.
Oh, that's cute. You can go to the Toys R Us and buy Lincoln Logs and remake it.
No, I don't have that kind of time.
That's beautiful, Steve.
Yeah. Great. But like the Gumby I stole when I was in 5, I don't have that anymore. That's when I met Karen, first Gumby I ever stole. 750 more with Karen Conti in a second. Here's Mary. Karen Conti's here. The will question I brought up initially. The do-it-yourself wills online. Listener wants to know if those are okay.
You know, they are, but I just think it's way too important to risk doing it wrong. I think that these programs are not always geared to the state. States are very different. And you want to talk to a lawyer. And, you know, there's ways that lawyers can save you money, estate taxes and things like that. So, you know, lawyers are going to suggest things to you that a program are not going to suggest. And, you know, for a couple $1,000 and some peace of mind, I think the way to go is get a lawyer, do it right, and get it done.
Well, especially if you have any specific situations in life that may be unique, because I have a special needs brother, and to have something in the will that takes care of him if I go before he does, there's something called a special needs trust
Absolutely.
That can be created.
And if you do that incorrectly, you lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's ways to focus, focus your estate plan in that case so that the government money that pays for some facilities and medical issues will not go to waste. And I have a lawyer who does special needs trust. That's all he does. He's got a disabled son himself. So I've got people who do things in...
I got a guy.
And you have to get the right person.
Top legal stories nationally this year. What would you put maybe in your top 3 or 4?
Well, I would say the top one has to be the Comey firing slash Mueller appointment investigation. Yep. I'm going to throw all that together because, frankly, I mean, we maybe are sick of hearing about it, but it is a big deal. Firing an FBI director is a big deal, and having this special prosecutor come in and basically, you know, have a guilty plea with a general. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And he's going up the ladder. I predict that next year we're going to have other indictments, and they might come into the Trump family. They might come into the Trump camp, seriously close to the president. And I think what we see here, in my view, is the Trump administration doesn't really know the law, and they're not listening to the lawyers. So you don't know this highly regulated area, right?
Well, they don't care.
You don't, you're not listening to your lawyers, and you're talking about everything you're doing. Those three things are a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and
whether
I think
you're a bad person, or I'm not attributing anything, because I know people get really politically upset when I say these things, but they're not following the rules, and they're talking about it.
They are bad people.
And so this is it's a perfect storm. We're going to see more of it next year, not less.
And maybe before the end of the year. There's talk getting louder. We could see another indictment in the next few days.
Could very well happen.
All right. But what about the shootings?
And shootings. You know, I mean, if you think about it, we had two New York shootings. We had the congressional baseball field. We had, of course, the huge one in Las Vegas. We had the Baptist Texas Church. We had so many of them that we kind of lost track, and we're sort of immune, but we're seeing those over and over again. I put that in the legal category because it's a crime. And there's something to be said about thinking about gun laws. Again, that gun laws are probably not going to change because of these things, but we're going to change our whole society based upon shootings that might happen, whether it's internal terrorism, crazy people, or terrorism from somewhere else.
And it's leading to possibly more watch lists, more cities being put on there, and then that kind of ties in with immigration, too, a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then the third one has to be sexual harassment.
Yeah. That's a huge deal.
Huge deal. And that's going to change things. It's already changed things. I think you see companies are tightening their ropes on what constitutes sexual harassment. They're doing training, sensitivity training, and it's going to be a pervasive part of our lives now.
And again, for people listening who are thinking, I think this happened to me, what's the bar for proving sexual harassment in Illinois?
Well, it has to be unwanted sexual attention. So, you know, saying you look pretty today is probably not unwanted sexual attention. If you leer at somebody and say, you look really hot and I want to go date you tomorrow, that might be unwanted. But you have an obligation as a woman, unless I'll say woman, to report it, to tell the person, I don't appreciate this. And report
and document
it,
what
and
you
document.
Did.
And listen, a one-time shot of someone who's being awkward or socially backward, that's not sexual harassment, okay? That's just not. And I don't want to have women men think that women, you know, you can't speak to a woman. That's just not where I want to go.
What about a dope in a hallway who likes to tell dirty jokes? How much of it is on the woman or women to just walk away and not be a part of that?
Well, and yes, but also,
well, I'm asking, is that harassment or not?
It could be. It could be hostile work environment. Depends on the situation. And I think, again, if you're sitting there and you have a dirty joke, or someone sends you a dirty email at the workplace, which we see all the time,
you start passing around.
You just say, you know what, I don't feel comfortable with this. Could you just stop? You know, that's all you have to say. It doesn't have to be a big deal.
What if the boss at work has dirty joke time every afternoon and everyone has to sit in a circle as he tells them? That's probably not good.
Not good.
And HR has to take notice now, because I think in the past that was one of the concerns. Women were afraid that they're going to report something and HR is not going to do anything about it.
Well, that's right. And they have an obligation to investigate it. Usually they put people on leave for a day and they interview everybody. They see if there's any corroborating evidence and then they take action, whether that's a reprimand or separating the two or firing somebody. That is their obligation, and that's when the company becomes liable, okay, because that's their job.
Karen Conti will be off the radio for a period of time and then back for even more Karen Conti, because she's doing the traditional Christmas in Vietnam trip, which starts later today. That sounds like a pretty cool vacation.
It is. You know, people that come back say it's just exotic, it's interesting, it's historical, it's warm. So there's all kinds of pieces to it. So I'm very much looking forward
to
it.
Plus, if Kim Jong-un starts shooting at us, you'll be on the right spot. He won't be shooting at you.
live report.
Thanks for this, as always, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Back with Dean after we take care of the news. That's next, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Yeah, Roy Moore lost there. Take your horse and get out of town. Yeah.
Hey, hey. New lyrics to the song. Good morning, Dean.
I was just reading about Roy Moore on the Facebook, Steve. I don't know if you're familiar with it. All the kids are loving this Facebook. And people, it's just so interesting reading people's comments about the election result.
I am proud of the people of Alabama, and again, I don't care what party you belong to. You can be in the Tupperware party. Roy Moore is a pedophile and an accused pedophile, not a convicted pedophile, and had no business in the United States Senate. It's about time in 2017 we drew the line in something in politics, so at least there's this.
The election result, you mean?
Well, the fact that it happened, yeah. Hey, you know what's funny is everybody going, oh, a sea change. Our dark troubles and trials and tribulations are... No. It's a 50-50 split down the middle. This country is just as torn apart as it's always been, and or at least as it's been since Trump won. So it's still a hot mess, but it's better than it was yesterday because the wrong guy wasn't elected.
And what's so interesting to me, given all that you say, which I agree with 100%, you know, people who are still 1,000% in Roy Moore's camp, given everything that we know.
People just find
a way to justify how they already felt, no matter what. No matter what.
Again, if your line is not 14-year-old girls shouldn't be hit on by 32-year-old men and assaulted, then I don't know what your line is.
Yep.
It's 8:15.
Good morning.
We've got a kind of a side issue this morning, and that is that you probably know this. Mark Carman's car was stolen Thanksgiving Eve because he was gassing up and left it running while he went inside for a casual stroll and book club with the clerk there.
Is that wrong, Dean?
You left the keys in the ignition and it's running?
That's correct.
I don't do that.
Yeah, well, his car was stolen. But in his car was his stuffed animal, Chucky the Ducky, and
the story is getting wronger and wronger as it goes along.
Arnold the Duck, Dean.
Arnold the Duck in the car, and Arnold the Duck fortunately came back okay, but Arnold the Duck is never too far from Mark because Arnold sleeps with Mark.
How did you get Arnold the Duck back if the car was stolen?
I was actually stunned that they didn't
because
want to take Arnold.
Because the thieves have standards, Dean.
They dumped Arnold the Duck on the ground and then stole the car?
Well, we got the car back, too. But they took my phone, which for future use, but they left the duck.
But they left the duck.
The duck smells like weed, though, now.
Well, he's been washed. We gave him a bath in a lingerie bag in the sink.
Wronger and wronger.
Wait a second.
I'm trying to help you, man.
Why a lingerie bag?
Well, that's what you do with delicate garments, right, Andrea?
Yeah, you put your delicates, your
like
bra.
Like Steve doesn't know that.
You put your delicates in the garment bag, that way it doesn't snag.
What? What delicates?
Arnold is a delicate.
Yes. So anyway, we're getting a bunch of texts from people with stuff that they've had since they were little kids that they're coming clean on. And, you know, it's a real... kind of, eye-opener. From the 630, my Tasmanian stuffed animal devil. I've had it over my bed. It protects me while I sleep. I wonder if it spins until it goes, whirr, you know that thing?
Must smell really great.
Yeah.
Well, that's like Trilogy of Terror, that movie. I would think of that all the time.
Tasmanian devil's Bugs Bunny.
That's Bugs Bunny.
I know, but remember that little that guy in Trilogy of Terror that looked like? No.
Nope.
You don't remember that movie? Dean does. I know he does.
Don't drag Dean into this.
I mostly remember Tasmanian Devil from Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. I'm 34 years old, married, 2 children. I sleep with a stuffed football pillow every night. I've had it since I was a kid.
Love that guy.
Oh, my God. Throw it away.
That text is sort of, the subtext there is, bite me, Steve. It's in there somewhere. from the 619, I have a stuffed frog that flies with me. I was afraid to fly when I was younger. My grandmother gave me a travel frog to keep me safe. Well, that's nice, your travel frog.
Oh, my God. What is happening to my soft side?
The 6'3", my girlfriend has a stuffed monkey from when she was 5, shares our bed, and gets a towel over its head when we're intimate.
What?
I know it's strange, but okay. She's normal otherwise.
Oh, aside from that, yeah.
Well, he needs to hold himself in there as well.
I never thought about that. When you're fooling around with your girlfriend, does Chucky the Ducky watch?
You know, at that moment in time, Steve, there's no real focus on Arnold, so we don't really know what Arnold's doing. He could be hanging out.
La, 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 la,
yeah,
la,
right?
La, 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 la. A-19, have we gotten to a point yet where you can talk about the Star Wars movie?
Yes.
All right. Next, Dean reviews the Star Wars movie after Mary Does Traffic, and we do a couple other things.
Maybe Chicago's Best.
You'll be calling his name. Dean
Back to Dean at Channel 9. Before we get to Star Wars, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees were announced. And I was not named the sexiest man in America. Am I in the Rock and Roll Hall
of
Fame?
You also did not get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
What a tough year for me.
You are having a tough year. But how do you think the Moody Blues felt? They have been eligible to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for 28 years.
0 for 28
until this morning, and the Moody Blues will be inducted into the Rock
They're
and Roll
the
Hall
Susan
of Fame.
They're the Susan Lucci of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Imagine that, 28 years, the nominations come out and you're not in it. The awards come out.
I'm not a big Moody Blues fan.
Oh, I love the Moody Blues.
So you think they should have been in 28 years ago?
Oh, a long time ago. Are you kidding me? Knights in White Satin?
Mm-hmm.
Wildest Dream.
Who else got in?
Breathe Deep. That's all I can remember from that song.
Yeah, obviously it meant a lot to you.
The 70s were rough on brain cells. Bon Jovi finally got in.
Yeah, of course.
Bon Jovi got in. They led the fan balloting with more than a million votes. The Cars got in. Dire Straits.
Rick Ocasek ever put on any weight?
Nope.
Still skinny?
Nope. He should have started... like Jenny Craig or, you know, like one of those kind of deals. Because he is the skinniest man in the Northern Hemisphere.
He made David Bowie look fat.
Yeah, he's on the Steven Tyler diet.
What about, is he still married to Paulina Porizkova?
I believe so.
That's nice.
Yeah, I believe so.
Most of the times you marry a supermodel, it lasts about 2 weeks. At least that's my experience.
Here's the choice that is getting some controversy. Singer, songwriter, civil rights activist Nina Simone was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Really?
Not really, I mean, not by really any stretch of the imagination, a rock and roll performer. I mean, she was, a very pioneering performer in her day. I would call her mostly a blues artist or jazz artist. But a lot of people are wondering, how does...
It feels like a stretch.
How does Nina Simone get in?
And how did Eurythmics not get in?
Like the Eurythmics... Judas Priest was up for nomination this year. And those are rock and roll pioneers, both.
Yeah. What about Dexy's Midnight Runners?
Did not make it in this year. Did not. Gospel singer, guitarist, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, which honestly I thought was a Cheech and Chong character from one of their albums back in the years. She also made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's going to be April 14th.
Billy Ocean?
No Caribbean
Queen.
No love for Caribbean Queen.
<All right>.
What a shame that is. So, what about the guys that did Tub Thumping, Chumbawamba?
Chumbawamba.
I love that song.
Did not get in this year.
Boy, what just terrible news.
Yeah.
Moving on, James Corden's got a new baby.
James Corden's wife had a bouncing baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a last-minute deal. Corden was scheduled.
What do you mean, they didn't know she was pregnant?
Well, they knew she was pregnant, but she wasn't due yesterday.
Oh.
And Corden was scheduled to do a show.
Sure.
Obviously, he went to be with his wife during this moment. So they call Harry Styles from One Direction.
They could have called me. I would have done it.
Well, if you could have been there in like 2 hours' notice, because that's how Harry Styles wound up doing the Late Late Show last night.
That wouldn't have worked.
But little baby girl is just fine. That's the main thing. Everybody's healthy and happy, and God bless them all.
George and Amal Clooney are teaching people how to fly newborns?
Well, they were on a flight from Los Angeles to the UK, which is a pretty long flight, even longer if your fellow passengers happen to have newborn baby babies on the flight, which George and Amal did. So as a courtesy to the other passengers in the first class section...
Why, but hold on a second. Why are they flying commercial? I mean, if you have George Clooney's money, don't you charter a plane?
Doesn't Steve, he have a plane?
Steve, they're just like everyone else.
I don't know.
Can you imagine getting on that plane and sitting next to Clooney?
Everybody going, oh, can I hold the baby?
And a crying baby.
So, all right, I'm sorry. So what's your tip?
So what they did was they purchased noise-canceling headphones for everyone in first class with a little note that says, we apologize in advance if the babies cry.
Okay,
and they gave people these, you know, very high expensive noise-canceling headphones.
That's just ridiculous.
They're just like you and I. I can't tell you the number of times that I've done that when I've been a little gassy on a flight.
Right. Right. Dean. That's just ridiculous. All right, so Star Wars the movie.
Oh, it's so great.
Oh, it is great.
It's so great.
Yes.
It's so great.
Yes.
I wound up giving it a Dean's List A, even though it's 2.5 hours long, which usually I hate.
Yeah, it's too long for me.
But the last 40 minutes of this movie is stunning. Mm. And I think this is so carefully assembled that just when you feel like the movie might, you like sort of should be wrapping it up, this amazing 40-minute conclusion takes place.
Well, tell us what happened.
Musical number. Who knew the village people were all still together living on the planet Alderaan?
I cried in the last one. I'm so excited for this one.
I think you're going to get a little teary-eyed at points with this one as well.
What happens right at the end?
So the basic formula for Star Wars The Last Jedi is intact. The, you know, good guy versus bad guys.
Well, when last we left this, Luke Skywalker was staring out at the sea.
He was.
Well, that's the last movie.
I know.
Yeah, that's 2 years ago. I'm sorry.
All right,
if you haven't
true.
Seen
yeah,
the
yeah.
last movie by yeah. now, I'm sorry.
Okay. So what happens?
He's staring out at the sea on this island where he is discovered by Rey, played by Daisy Ridley, who wants to learn the ways of the Force.
It's got
to
be his daughter, right? That's got to be his daughter.
Don't see it.
That's got to be his daughter.
And that's when the village people come out. Who knew?
Is there a Maury Povich cameo where he tests a parentage? For a...
Hey, wait a minute. Is that Jesse Ventura in that scene? As a droid? Wait a minute.
You see Luke Skywalker going, I'm not the baby's daddy.
The movie is basically in two sections. It's the battle between the rebellion and
Donald Trump?
The evil force that wants to take over the universe. Some of the cast members did point out there may be some correlations to what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is the battle for the force itself between Rey and Kylo Ren, who is the movie's main bad guy. There is an attraction and... something that is separating them.
Amazon or Google?
This force between them that is repelling them from each other at the same time. So you've got, you know, a few storylines that are all going on at the same time with spectacularly created battle scenes with a mixture of new characters and new creatures that are adorable and terrifying. And some nostalgic.
Is Jar Jar Binks back?
Prizes in this movie that longtime Star Wars fans are really gonna.
I love Jar Jar Binks. Didn't everybody love Jar Jar Binks?
No, he's the worst.
He's annoying.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Dean, is there a cool theater, like if you want to be with the Star Wars people, that you should go to? Don't you want to see them, Andre?
Fans, you mean?
Yeah. Like, isn't it going to be a big night tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, yeah. I'm gonna be out. I'm gonna be at the AMC River East.
Everybody's going to play dress up
with fans, and everyone's going to be all dressed up and waiting in line, which you know kind of baffles me now. It made sense in 1977. Today, you can go online and reserve your precise seats, and you don't have to wait in line for 16 hours. But it is fun. The kids come out and they're in their costumes, and you know they're lightsabering each other.
Do you know the story of the Royal Brothers doing walk-ons as stormtroopers?
That's rumored. I don't know that that's ever been confirmed.
Harry called me last night, told me it happened.
Daniel Craig did. That was confirmed. That Daniel Craig, James Bond, he was a stormtrooper in The Force Awakens.
So you won't know them, but they're in a helmet.
Yeah, they're in the white storm.
The movie.
Oh, the movie theater. Is Daniel Craig going to be at the AMC?
No, they're in a helmet running around in the movie.
Yeah.
But this the movie is it's exciting, it's sweet, it's sentimental. At times, it's hilariously funny. They have everything that you want.
Is there a scene where they're sitting around a campfire and they have gas because everybody's eating beans?
And they do the Star Wars theme. Bump, 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 bump.
All right, for
bump,
those of us who bump, don't have 2.5 hours, what happened, say, in the last 5 minutes? I'm just curious.
La, 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 la.
Well, the credits are rolling in the last, if you really stay till the end.
That's part of the problem with Star Wars. You got to read the first 10 minutes, right? You got the screen.
They have the scrolling.
Scroll.
They do, but you get chills when that happens.
I got chills.
You get chills when
I get chills if the theater's too cold.
Oh, Steve,
you got to be into
sometimes it. Steve will drink his icy cold a little too fast and gets a head freeze.
There's a happy medium between you and then the people who dress up in the costumes and sit in the theater. And
I don't know
it.
If it's a medium.
Some sort of happy, like some sort of compromise.
No, I enjoyed the last one. I thought it was really good.
This movie.
Is this one better than the last one?
This one is, I would say, as good. Some people are saying it's even better than Return of the Jedi, and I don't think that's true. I think Return of the Jedi, to me, is still the gold standard.
If somebody says that to you, will you fight them?
I will kill them. Prepare to be killed if somebody says that to me. But I think it ranks among the best of the franchise. It's easily as good as the last installment. I really loved it. Be prepared, 2.5 hours. But, man, that 2.5 hours, and I usually hate 2.5 hour long movies. I completely, thoroughly was in this movie for the entire 2.5. Absolutely loved it.
One texter, 847, says, Steve, try shutting up for 30 seconds while Dean reviews a movie. Let me ask you a question. Have you heard of the show? I don't think that's going to work.
Thank you, texter, for that input. You may have noticed that none of us are actually paying attention to anything that Steve is saying.
Yeah, that's true. 847, I don't think noise-canceling headphones will help Dean if he's gassy. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Dean, you put him in the wrong spot again.
You wear him where you want. I wear him where I want.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
That's Dean. He loved the new Star Wars movie. We'll come back to the big story. We have some special musical entertainment in studio coming up. It's exciting. They were just nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah.
Next year for sure.
We'll get some more text messages on as well at 312-981-7200 from the text question of the day. What did you say from your childhood that might be a little embarrassing? And Mark Harmon, good news for you. Your rental car has not been stolen all morning. We've been keeping an eye on it downstairs.
Thank you so much, Steve.
All right. Big story next, 720 WGN. We are gathered here at 8:46 in the morning in the Showcase studio with Billy Deck coming in next hour. After 9, and do we have some more text? Did I get to all the texts on Mark and his stuffed animal problem? If there's anything else out there, let us know about stuff that you might be a little embarrassed about. Stuffed animals from your childhood. Not just stuffed animals, though. I mean, stuff from your childhood that maybe was tough to explain in the relationship. Mark, when did the girlfriend actually get over the idea that you had a stuffed duck?
I don't think she ever really had to get over it, Steve. I think she understood that this was a great intimate connection that I had.
Well, the fact that you don't have children, is there a point where you introduce her to Oscar? Dave? What's the duck? I'm sorry, dude. What's the duck's name?
The duck's name is Arnold, Steve.
I'm going to write it down. This time I'm going to write it down. When did you actually introduce her to Arnold?
Arnold? Fairly early on in the relationship, Steve. You don't want to keep things in the closet, right?
But were you at dinner?
You might want to.
No, I mean,
put it in the closet. Yeah.
That's why I have all my stuffed toys.
You come over, and if things proceed to the bedroom, then Arnold's hanging out. He's ready there to greet
you. Where does Arnold stay normally?
He's got a great little pillow, and there's a blanket that he likes to cuddle with, too. That's
like a regular sized blanket or a little stuffed duck.
No, it's
blanket.
A little more. You know, one of those. I like to call it. It's not. Now this is my girlfriend's blanket. We call it Blankie.
Oh God!
So we got the Blankie and Arnold. They're hanging out.
Yeah, take an Advil.
Do you have a question?
No, I just was. You know, I guess maybe we should qualify or maybe quantify that a lot of people save their things. You know, like I have a yellow stuffed bunny that I had when I was
see,
but it's in a bin. In my mom's house somewhere, it's not, like, displayed.
What are you avoiding by not having the ducky out here?
Maybe I should think about it. 224
texter, my husband and I both sleep with beanie babies.
See?
Okay. Oh, my. All right, all you guys.
This is a good question from the 312. Mark, why a duck?
Why a duck? Well, it was sort of, you know, grandfathered into passed down from generations.
It belonged to your grandfather?
Oh, it was belonging to my mother, so, you know, it was passed down.
Oh, so it's a memory of your mom.
Yes, of course.
Well, that's nice.
Well, of course.
You didn't tell me that.
Well, yes, but, you know, you don't... Arnold is trying to...
I mean, I still think it's weird that you sleep with it, but, I mean, it's nice that you have it.
Right. Right. No, Arnold means a lot. You got to...
630. Mark, you seem quite happy in your relationship. Men don't usually refer to a woman as their girlfriend unless things have become serious. Did you meet the girl on It's Just Lunch?
I did not. But that's a great, great way to go about things, I hear.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like an old girlfriend checking on Mark.
Oh, I bet you, yeah. Like
you sound happy.
You. She's Facebook stalking.
You don't usually refer to it as a girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going on, Steve.
What, you think it's the people that stole your car?
They're texting.
See, yeah. Could be the people that stole my car. That's, I guess, possible.
219. Mark, one of my biggest regrets is that I did not save my stuffed animals from my childhood. You should keep your baby safe.
I'm telling you, when Arnold was gone in that car, Steve, it was stressful.
Do you think you would have needed therapy if Arnold was truly gone?
It would have been tough, Mary. I don't want to, you know, even go down that road, really.
708. I'm 60 years old and have a Huckleberry hound that I got when I was just one.
Okay, again, that's cool because mm-hmm. we all have, you know, keepsakes mm-hmm. from our childhood. I think the issue is that Mark sleeps with the girlfriend and then drives around in the car with it.
As a texter.
I think that's the issue.
219 texter. Are we sure the girlfriend's real?
That's a good point. Have you ever met her?
No.
Me neither.
I have.
No.
Oh,
you have?
If it's the same one.
It is, Mary.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's fantastic. She's a lot of fun.
She's listening to this now, like rethinking, though.
No, I really like her.
630 was wondering, Mark, if Andy the Duck, like the listeners, the listeners can't get it right either. I wonder if Arnold the Duck has been giggling at dumb TV shows and had the munchies since his little adventure with the weed-smoking car thieves.
I'm telling you, Arnold was, it was a ride for Arnold. I don't know what happened in there, and Arnold hasn't been talking, but he needed, I'm telling you, the bath was very much needed, Steve. I can confirm that.
630, Mark, do you know if Darth Vader had a stuffed duck?
See, maybe if Darth had connected with his past via a stuffed animal, he wouldn't have been the vicious Darth Vader, Steve.
Wouldn't have been so
Darth.
Evil.
Right.
630, this is an important question. For Mark's safety, I hope Obi, Hamp, and Kaz don't find out about his stuffed little friend.
They didn't take well to the car being stolen. Hamp was giving me some lessons.
Sandberg, for the sake of entertainment value, can you get that message to Hamp about the stuffed duck? Maybe send him this portion of the show.
We'll be on at 6:30 on Saturday night after the Bears and Lions, for the record.
Let It Be Christmas is an annual event that is a can't miss. It's now in its 57th year, and my friends from Community Christian Church will be singing live in studio coming up. Let's get to traffic first from Mary. What do you have? My church home, your church home, Community Christian Church, now has, what, 11, 12 churches?
10 locations.
Like I said, 10.
Chicago. About to be 11, though, on February 11th.
There you go. And the Big Yellow Box, as we affectionately call it, on Ogden Avenue in Naperville, is home once again. And it's a great entertainment space. You know, I should do a stand-up show there.
You should. Yeah. If you can clean up your act, we'll have you.
That's true. The filth. But it's a great space for entertainment, and it's going to once again host Let It Be Christmas. So, by the way, if this is not your church home, this is entertainment. You're just welcome to come on in. So don't be intimidated by the word church in the sentence, right?
That's right.
All right. So sell it. Why should people come?
It's a great show. We've been doing it for 10 years. It's the nativity story told with all Beatles songs. So it is completely accessible to people who love the Beatles, people who love Christmas. And if you love neither, you will after seeing our show.
And I believe one of you, I don't know which, has a theory that the three wise men were three of the Beatles. Is that accurate?
Well, certainly the costume designer feels that way.
I see. All right, fine. You going to sing for us?
We are. We've brought our stars, Joe and Mary, Eric Martinick, and Cora Stewart are going to sing a little
By the way, Joe could
song.
Not look more thrilled to be up at this hour.
Oh, we're all thrilled to be up at this hour.
Yeah.
We love being on your show, Steve.
I can tell. And CLTV will join us in a couple minutes as well, but what's the first song?
First song they're going to do, a little Love Me Do.
Here you go on 720 WGN.
Love, love me do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please love me too. Whoa, whoa, love me too. Love, love me do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please love me too. Whoa, whoa, love me too. Someone to love, somebody new. Someone to love, well, someone like you. Love, love me too. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please love me too. Whoa, love me too.
Yeah, love me too.
Whoa, whoa, love me too.
Now, Dad, at that hour.
Yeah.
That's some vocal range for 9 a.m., man. Very nice. And by the way, did you guys have any idea who the Beatles were before you did this show?
Yes, we did.
You did? You did? Okay. How old are they? 12? 10? How old?
14, right? Are you guys both 14? No, I'm kidding. I don't know their ages. Yeah. They're youngins. They're 15, 16. But nice. You're 18, right, Eric? Yeah. How old are you, Cora?
15.
15.
Yeah. So let's see. When you were born, the Beatles had only been broken up for about 35 years.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's a great show. You're going to do some more here in a bit?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll take a break. Come back. News next, 720 WGN. More on Let It Be Christmas in a second. We've got a bunch of texters chiming in with how great the show is. Let me ask, how might we get tickets and where might we go to do that?
Go to communitychristian.org/letitbe. And if you're lucky, you can get some tickets for our last weekend. Tickets are selling fast.
That's this coming weekend?
Yeah, this coming weekend. Yeah, yeah. So we've got shows Friday night at 7:30, Saturday at 3, and 7:30. Those are our last three performances.
Common question as we lead into the Christmas holiday, the calendar this weekend would click over to the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Is there a reason you don't do a show, say, on the 22nd or 23rd?
Yes. So we are a church, community Christian church, and so we traditionally do Christmas Eve services on the 24th. And
that
we
would
also
be Sunday.
Right. So that would be Sunday.
Yes.
But then also on Saturday night, we do Christmas Eve services.
Oh, I see.
And
what about Friday? Wait, are you guys busy Friday?
Yeah, we're just all busy. I mean, there's like a fruitcake exchange that I got to get to.
Oh, I understand. All right. Best place for tickets again is?
communitychristian.org/letitbe. And if you want to find out more information about our locations and our Christmas Eve services and our Christmas Eve services, just go to communitychristian.org.
All right. Well done by you. Coming up, what's coming up today in politics? Stand by for that. Also got a piece of sound that's gone viral this morning. I got to play for you. It'll just make you feel good about the fact that Roy Moore has to take the horse he rode in the other direction because he ain't going to D.C.
Say bye-bye.
At 9:15, first, more from Let It Be Christmas. You want to tell me what you're going to sing or you just want to impress me?
Yes, yeah, so we've got Charles Stevens, who's actually playing Herod this year, but he has played one of the wise men in the past, and so we brought him with us this morning to sing a little song that the wise men sing.
Did we just lose a mic? Are we okay?
I don't know. Okay. I felt like it was sparking.
Click.
Like there's sparks in my face.
Oh, yeah. It's a weird. We okay, Ben, you think? Yeah. All right. Whenever you're ready, let it rip.
Because the world is round, it turns me on. Because the wind is high,
It blows my mind. Because the wind is high.
Yeah.
Wow. Right?
Yeah.
Man, imagine when rehearsal's over how good they're going to be. That was very...
Someday we'll get there, Steve.
That was very, very impressive. And I thought Herod was a jerk. Herod seems swell to me.
Yeah, he kind of goes back and forth, you know.
Really? Yeah, it's got to be difficult.
He's been through a lot.
These are troubled times. Let It Be Christmas, the show. Can you hang around?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Come on, where are you going to go? We'll get more from Let It Be Christmas coming up here in a little bit. First at 9:17, quick break, and we're back on CLTV and 720 WGN. Mark Carman in for Dave Ennett. And, Mark, you know, karma is a funny thing. It can actually apply to cars.
Yeah.
Dateline Pittsburgh, a man who apparently tried to steal wheels from a van was found dead Tuesday morning in Pittsburgh when the van fell on top of him.
Good Lord. Mm. That's a rough way to... call it a career.
I have a, you know, I've always had a, like, kind of a motto, if you will, and that's don't die stupid, because you leave the people that loved you to try to explain what happened and why they liked you in the first place. This would be one of those don't die stupid things.
Stealing tires, ending up dead, is a bad way to, that's just a bad choice right there.
According to the investigations, believe the male victim was attempting to steal the wheels from a van. The vehicle fell on top of him. The body has not yet been identified because those closest are too embarrassed to come and check.
Yeah, no kidding. So. That's complete irony. Came full circle. It did. Yes, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you say, oh, that's ironic. No, that's complete irony.
Yes, it did. The next time you fill in, will you bring Arnold the Duck in so we could actually do an interview?
Absolutely, Steve. Okay. If you want me to... Okay, we can take pictures, everything.
I've never had so many personal texts, too, by the way, from a lot of people that you might even know, Mark. People going, is Mark nuts?
Thank God he's got a serious girlfriend, because no one will ever date him again.
I'd like to know who every single one of those people are, and I will call them individually, Andrea.
I think you know some of them.
Yeah. Before we go any further, the balance of the day news-wise will include a couple of things. One, of course, is the Doug Jones big upset win in Alabama over Roy Moore. 25 years of voting Republican ended last night. There will be no recount, unless Roy Moore decides to pay for it, and it costs millions and millions and millions of dollars to do that. And frankly, Doug Jones had outspent him and outfundraised him to get where he needed to be. Again, I don't care about Doug Jones being Democrat. I care about the fact that Roy Moore is not going to the United States Senate. And I still hope in some way he has to face charges for what he did to those girls through the years. But just to reinforce the feeling, a viral video has popped this morning. And Roy Moore has some very specific thoughts, but also a weird twist here. Roy Moore praising Vladimir Putin and speaking Russian. Listen.
Wow.
You were, I assume, a supporter of Ronald Reagan in the 80s. What do you think he would think of the proximity between the U.S. and Russian president right now? But he said that Russia was the focus of evil in the modern world.
You could say that very well about America, couldn't you?
Do you think?
Well, we promote a lot of bad things, you know?
Like?
Same-sex marriage.
That's the very argument that Vladimir Putin makes.
Well, then maybe Putin is right. Maybe he's more kin to me than I know.
What would you say to him?
Здравствуйте, как вы поживаете сегодня?
I have to translate.
Hello, how are you? I studied Russian at one time.
Did you really?
At the United States Military Academy at West Point.
It just seems odd to me that one of Trump's main guys that he's been supporting, at least recently, is fond of Putin and speaks Russian.
You can kind of understand him better when he speaks Russian. Instead of that mumbling.
Goodbye, Roy. Maybe leave the horse. The horse seemed nice.
Здравствуйте, как вы поживаете сегодня?
Yeah, same to you. It's 9:24. The Bramlett Boys are here. They have been putting great music on stage forever at Community Christian Church. You can get tickets for Let It Be Christmas. Again, how?
CommunityChristian.org/Let It Be.
And please reintroduce these two fine young talents.
As Joe.
And by the way, I'm not talking about your older brother.
Oh, right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Eric Martinick playing the role of Joe this year, and Cora Stewart playing the role of Mary.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, one more time from Let It Be Christmas.
They're going to sing a little song that they sing at the manger.
Close your eyes. Away in the
have
manger,
no fear.
No crib for
the monster's gone. He's on the run, and your daddy's here.
Lay down his sweet head.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Before you go to sleep, say a little prayer every day and every way. It's getting better and better. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Out on the ocean, sailing away. Oh, I can hardly wait to see you come of age. But I guess we'll both just have to be patient, 'cause it's a long way to go, a hard road to hoe. Yeah, it's a long way to go, but in the meantime, before you cross the street, take my hand. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Before you go to sleep,
away in
say a little
manger,
prayer.
No crib for a bed.
Every day and every way, it's getting better and better.
That's really nice. Really nice. Really nice. What a cool arrangement. Is that yours, Hutcha?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
You know, those
really cool
songs kind of go
the voices
together.
In your head heard those two songs together.
Yeah, actually, that might have come from our pals at Granger Community Church in Granger, Indiana.
Yeah.
Helped inspire the idea, what, 10 or 11, 12
so
years
it'd be
ago?
11 years ago, at least, that they did a series called Let It Be Christmas, and each week was a different Beatles song that correlated to the Christmas story. Well, on Christmas Eve, they did like a 15, 20-minute little musical, and Beautiful Boy was the song that really inspired us wanting to steal their idea. So we
borrow.
We asked if we could steal it.
Right.
And
right.
Actually, they came and saw it one year and then stole it back.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, so it's all in
good for
sharing.
Them.
Yeah.
Congrats. We had a texter say very few tickets left. They just checked. So
yes.
Get yours.
Yes, get them now.
Get them right now.
This weekend, like, because
right.
Obviously.
But there's not
guys,
a bad seat in the house.
There
seriously.
Is not. That is absolutely
We've
true.
We've saved a couple for you, Steve.
And obviously, you can't be bothered to work on Friday the 22nd.
That would be ridiculous.
I'll send you our lead pastor's email address.
That's
we
totally
can head
fine.
Over to your house and sing some songs on that day
hey.
If you're available.
Let's do a little private concert. concert at Steve Cochran's
house. Be careful. That offer could stand.
That's what all the celebrities do, right?
That's exactly
they
right.
They all show personal up, yeah. Concert, Diddy, concerts. You guys.
No question about it.
But
thank
I would
you
like
guys.
To say, Steve, I would like to say, if you do miss Let It Be Christmas, there is one more opportunity to see us. We will be performing at an event at the Field Museum called A Night at the Museum. This is being put on by Chance the Rapper's charity, Social Work Chicago, and they've asked us to perform.
How great is that?
It's really exciting stuff. They're great guys, great people. Great organization doing great things for the community.
Do you have a hat with the three on it?
Not yet, okay. But I'm hoping to get okay. one.
Chance is great. He's a good kid.
Yeah, seems like it.
Yeah, and throwing all of his own money around to help others.
Absolutely.
When is that event?
So that's on December 20th at the Field Museum. It's called A Night at the Museum. If you go to their website, socialworkshy.org, and click on events, you can find out more information about
that.
Is that
the overnight thing they're doing, too?
Is that the sleepover?
No, I don't think it's overnight.
Yeah,
it's
they
like
do a sleepover.
Yeah,
but
it's
that's
at
not
6
that
to
way.
9 p.m. on December 20th, and it's like $15 tickets. Parking's only $10.
That's great.
And it's
yeah.
a big family event.
And you
Let
get
it
to
be
see
Christmas.
Everything.
Even if you don't
yeah.
come downtown the... for that, just to park in Chicago yeah. for $10
right.
is a thrill.
Just come and enjoy the parking garage.
Yeah, just yeah. park and then yeah. just
get,
go home.
And you can see all the exhibits, too, which is pretty cool.
But we're going to be bringing a lot of the cast of Let It Be Christmas and doing a lot of our numbers
well,
from the
congrats.
Show. And
thanks.
We're excited to be a part of it. Yeah.
And I look forward to your hip-hop review coming soon.
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Nice job. Community Christian Church always doing a great job. And we're back in a moment with more from CLTV and 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
It's your thing. 9:42. We just randomly selected one of the text messages from this morning. The winner of the Carol Burnett tickets is the 847 text that says, "Still have my Halloween costume from second grade. I was a cowboy. I'm 58. There you go. That's your winner. Randomly drawn from all the texts that came in this morning. And winner of Carol Burnett tickets. Let me make sure I get the plug right on this. Carol Burnett coming to the Chicago Theater again on June 13th. Remember I told you I took my mom to this when she was in town a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I saw
it great.
Too. She was excellent.
And she's added a second show and a final show on June 13th as well. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com or by phone at the ChicagoTheater.com website as well. And tickets are on sale now. Did we ever find out how Tim Conway's doing?
No, weren't we? We
it's
were
been very
that.
Quiet.
John DeCoste, I thought, was going to...
Yeah, it's been very quiet. We're a little concerned about him.
You guys all know a lot of the same people.
Yeah, and Tim Conway's the funniest human I think I've ever come across in my life. And he was not on the Carol Burnett 50th anniversary special. And, they talked about him being on The Men, but I'm concerned it's serious because that's a big deal, and he would have wanted to go on and be a goofball.
Absolutely.
So, hoping for the best there. 9:44, our friend Billy Deck is here, and it's always good to see you. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and all those things.
Thank you. Lovely to be here. It's so festive and wonderful in this studio.
Are you troubled by the Santa Claus stuck in the chimney?
No, I'm actually just taken aback thinking my whole holiday game is just lacking compared to this.
Don't you have, in your empire, don't you have someone like a vice president of holiday?
No, but we do have a person who does do holiday decor on the side, and they kill it. It looks like the Macy's Parade or something. It's Sunday right now. I don't know how they got these gigantic things through the front door.
You ever look at the budget and go, I'm sorry, how much are we paying
for
floats?
Oh, yeah, I do every year, and I say, we should be in this business. We should be in the holiday decor business, and then I get everyone back down to earth, and then we sort of recycle something crazy, and then it comes out, and it's red and green, and it's holiday stuff.
Yes, it is holiday. Yeah. Billy's got an ugly sweater holiday party food drive situation coming up with the Greater
yes.
Chicago Food Depository. Are you doing it tomorrow?
Yes, Thursday, 5 o'clock, 5 to 6:30 p.m., Rocket Bar and Grill, 22 West Hubbard. I have to work against myself. I'm supposed to be here to really promote this. I've been working with the Chicago Food Depository for about 7 years. But this is the first time ever that I'm going to say it. If you can't come, I've now been exposed to their virtual food drive. Have you seen this? You go to their site, and if you go to rocketbarandgrill.com/food drive, you go and you can customize your giving, because $1 equals three meals, right? So then you can actually customize what kind of families you want to help, or is it kids? Do you want to do, you know, X amount of vegetables or proteins?
Really?
It is so fascinating. It's
wow.
It's like shopping,
yeah.
And it's wonderful because, again, a dollar translates to three meals, so they'll literally tell you who you're getting 30 meals to for $10. So you can, I of course want everyone to show up at five, also because it's fun. I'm going to be putting out drinks, and ugly sweaters will be in the room. If you have them, wear them. If you don't feel bad. Just come and laugh. I have a fascinating ninja gingerbread man ugly sweater because I have a fascination with ninjas and gingerbread, which I'm now calling Ninja Bread Man.
Ninja
See what
Bread
I did there?
Man.
See what I did there?
That's yeah. Really good, right? 1 year for Christmas, I almost got Steve an ugly sweater. It was a Blackhawks theme.
Yeah.
But it was so cool. I mean, it was so ugly, it was cool. And yeah. I thought you'd probably enjoy that.
Yeah,
and like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Very hipster.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
it.
Very hipster.
Well, what you can do is you can actually do this right now, even. I just went to go test it out. It's up and running. You can pick what kind of meals you want to put together for people. And they're amazing. They put out 200,000 pounds of food in the Chicagoland area a day.
Oh
because God. Of help like this.
Yeah,
crazy.
And the thing is, the demand is obviously year-long, and here during the holidays, sometimes the support goes down because people are spread charity thin.
One of the places that they help, well, they help 700 places across the city to help get all this food out, but it's the St. Vincent de Paul Church, where I actually do a lot of my volunteering in the morning at this soup kitchen that we have. And a lot of the people are, there's some homeless and hungry, but some people look like they're on their way to work in sort of like a middle income sort of a scenario. Because of the food insecurity scenario, you don't always think it affects as many people as it does.
Oh, there are families.
You know, I talk to them, and you know, a lot of times they're just worried about putting the right food in their kids' lunchbox, and they'll take their breakfast, you know, at the soup kitchen if
yeah,
they have to.
Listen,
and so this helps a lot of people.
There could be people next door that you think are doing just fine
yeah.
that aren't. So
yeah.
now
so,
the question always comes up. Why can't the restaurants in the city at the end of the day
yeah.
turn their food over to a specific shelter?
It's always a matter of sort of legal problems.
It's a health department.
It's a health
thing,
department
right?
issue. It all started with lawsuits, if you
right.
believe it or not, where, you know, somewhere along the line, people sued for getting sick at one of these in one of these situations. So it became very regulated. And there are ways to do it. There are ways to do unpackaged goods or ways in which to go through certain channels to try. But it's very hard, and it just becomes cumbersome for restaurants to actually figure that out.
It's a shame.
And it's too bad because there's a tremendous amount of waste. And by the way, the waste occurs not only at the restaurant level but at the consumer level,
yeah.
even at home.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of food that we get rid of and throw away is staggering when you think about the hunger problems that are going around in the city. And, you know, it's really something that everybody
Well, listen, I've known you for a long time, and you're one of the most generous guys in Chicago or anywhere, not just with your time, but with your resources. Don't be shy about this. The restaurateurs in town.
Yes.
Call them out. Are they getting it done? Are they as generous as you are? Whether
there are so many high-profile restaurateurs that lend their time and their names to such really wonderful causes. And I think that separates Chicago from a lot of cities.
So you're proud of the sector?
I'm really proud of the restaurateurs and the servers and bartenders.
Okay.
The industry. Now, I don't know about the greater industry because everyone thinks the restaurant industry is defined by, you know, who they see. And that's really 5% of us. The restaurant industry as a whole, it's a little tough because everyone's just drowning, too, with all the problems, issues, obstacles, challenges in the restaurant industry in general that a lot of times it's really hard. I mean, you know, it's an incredibly seductive business, and people don't realize the little amount that actually goes to the bottom line for restaurateurs. And, you know, again, the media only really sort of celebrates loudly the ones that are most successful, and that turns out to be a reasonable amount, but the majority are struggling as well. So I don't really hold them, you know, to such a high bar that they have to do this, that, and the other. It's not
But
for
the
me.
Chicago food industry is getting it done.
They are. Chicago's okay. always been a relationship-based city, and so there are no closed doors. It's a very as much as people like to, you know, snicker about this, that, and the other, Chicago, from all my travels, even Chicagoans who have gone off to New York, Nashville, L.A., Vegas, they comment on how the level of community doesn't exist in these cities. And that they miss it for that reason.
I'm always amazed at the level of camaraderie, too, amongst you, amongst the chefs. You know, yes. Anytime there's an event, Chicago Gourmet, whatever it is, you all look at each other, which I think is yes. wonderful, as friends trying to help for the greater good.
Right.
For the greater good.
Until the end of the
together.
Event, then you tear each other apart.
No. And I'm not a chef by any means, but the chef community especially is super tight, yeah. and that's a beautiful thing. And that's a national thing as well.
You know, so that's a great point about you, though. Do you ever eat at home?
I do eat at home.
How often?
Well,
once a week.
No. I eat at home. Well, every morning I make that's my sort of best time of the day where I make kind of a big breakfast.
Do any of your places serve breakfast?
Nope.
That's why
it's interesting. That is interesting that you say that. And then for some reason, I wake up at 3 a.m. every morning and I have a gigantic scoop of peanut butter. That's like my happy
no
place.
Kidding. As far as,
yeah, I don't know why. And then I go back to bed.
Great choice.
Don't know why. Yeah, just told that story. Probably could have inserted a lot of better ones that made me, you know.
Oh, no. That's
cooler,
fine.
But
where would you go to eat? If you had just kind of maybe a night out, you're going to go. Where would you go?
You got one choice of your competitors. Where are you going to go?
La Scarola. It just makes me happy.
That's right? great.
You know, it's
great.
Just like warm. Mm-hmm. It's old school Chicago. It's just hearty.
And no miss on the menu. It's all good.
It's all good, man.
You mentioned absolutely. Nashville. Did you open Sunday yet?
I'm in full-blown construction. I have to go there in 48 hours to check in, and then I'm there every single week. Sunday opens in about a couple months.
For people that know Nashville, where's it going to be?
It's in the Gulch, which is an awesome area across from the Thompson Hotel.
Okay.
And we're just super excited to be there. I just hope everyone comes out and visits. And then one of the reasons we went to Nashville is because Chicago and Nashville have a really deep-rooted relationship.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't know that. I didn't actually know that coming up in the city, but a lot of friends, when I say Nashville, have stories to tell, and I'm really excited about that. From a sports perspective, from a culinary perspective, just from a closeness, proximity perspective, there's a great relationship.
Is there going to be a performance stage in there? Because you are in Nashville.
No, but I was just asked this yesterday because I'm doing a number of philanthropic efforts around there's a lot of medical out there, and mm-hmm. I've been working with some groups around children's medical needs, and there are a lot of country stars and artists out there recording, and we're trying to integrate something together around the openings, or a little bit after, maybe in April, where I'm going to do a couple shows there and just do a makeshift scenario with a makeshift stage. It's not Sunda with a stage or anything.
Right.
It's literally like Sunda in Illinois here. We just really tried to cookie cut the design, the menu, everything, and bringing out chefs. It's going to be great.
I can cover that too, Steve.
Yes.
You
go to Nashville.
Come to Nashville.
It's so fun.
Hang around
Tom's
a second.
Tonight,
yeah. We got more to talk
Absolutely.
About right after this on 720 WGN. Billy Deck is here. We're talking about the fact you're going to open Sunda. How's the podcast?
Awesome. I love it.
The meal of your life.
Yes, it is. I don't know if you've heard any, but obviously there's actors.
After you were here last time, yeah.
Yeah, there's, I think Ed Asner will make you laugh. David Schwimmer's is awesome.
Didn't Ed Asner try to make out with you?
Not me.
Speaking of the Me Too.
No, it was a producer at Channel 9.
He is very cutting edge.
Yes,
you know, he could be a liability.
He could be. She said, you know, he had said, do you want to go for dinner or something? And she said, I have to work until 9 or 10. It was a late hour. And he said, well, I'll wait all night for you if you need me to.
Oh, yeah. No, I had to start my interview.
This is a pre, you know.
I posted a picture of us, and people were like, that's weird. Do you think it's weird that you were so forward and asked to sit on his lap like Santa? I go, oh, no. That's how I had to start the interview. He asked me to sit on his lap.
Right.
Day being at Asmere.
Yeah.
And then interviewed Rahm Emanuel, which is awesome, picturing him as a kid, you know, eating, growing up.
And did he ask you to do his podcast since he did yours?
Yes. I haven't done it yet, but have you done it?
I have not, no.
Yeah, so.
He's been on this show, but he hasn't invited me on his yet.
Right. So The Meal of Your Life, you can get it on my website.
Well, you can also just search
BillyDeck.com.
Yeah. Search Billy Deck Podcast.
Or
it comes up right away.
Oh, it does? Nice.
Yeah.
That means it's people are listening. I appreciate it. Yes.
And before you go, talk about the annual firefighter paramedic calendar because you got the launch party coming up.
Yes. So we have a tremendous amount of friends around Rocket that have come to us to help launch this firefighter medic calendar that they do every year. And it's this Saturday, 9 o'clock. It goes to help all the Chicago Fire Department charities, mostly revolving around helping families of those affected or associated with Chicago Fire Department and medic members that are in need. So it's a really awesome event. There are going to be a ton of Chicago firefighters, first responders out there. They do everything from bringing toys to sick kids in hospitals, raising money for pediatric cancer research.
Doing the right
thing. They're just awesome an amazing group. And so we're there supporting them and just selling these calendars for 2018 that they've all sort of put together on their own. And that's a really great thing. Talk about community supporting each other. It's this totally homegrown event. And I'd love to see everyone there 9 o'clock Saturday. That you actually have to show up to. The Chicago Food Depository one, I was saying you can get online. But I do want to say that if you do come on Thursday, if anyone who gives $25, I'm going to give them right back a $25 gift certificate to Sunda just to help.
Hey, how about that?
You know,
so you cost you nothing.
Right. That's listen, once people get going, then it'll snowball. So I just want people to
how about that?
Can we get a
going.
Reservation time for Sunda too?
You can do it. I will do anything you want. I just want it to be successful on Thursday. Yeah.
And for all things Billy Deck, where do you send them?
On social, it's just my name, Billy Deck, D-E-C. And BillyDeck.com has all my stuff and the podcast. Anything you want, just
it's all there.
Hit me up.
Right.
I got
you'll tell me the Omarosa story off the air. And then I'll decide if we tell it on air. Thanks for coming in, man.
I
talk to you soon.
Seeing you guys.